say, I will struggle at times with remaining sin. I cannot overcome it by myself. And yet in my weak state, I am still responsible to pursue my spiritual growth. This seems to be a contradiction. The Spirit will help me, and I trust the Holy Spirit to finish the work that He began.
Thanks for joining us on the Truth Pulpit with Don Green, founding pastor of Truth Community Church in Cincinnati, Ohio. Hi, I'm Bill Wright. We're wrapping up our series, The Godly Mind, with part two of Don's message, A Mind for the Spirit's Work. Last time, our teacher began showing us what the Holy Spirit does to help us along in our Christian life. He pointed out the need for sanctification, a process that makes us more and more like Christ. On today's program, Don will turn to the power for sanctification. So let's join him now in the Truth Pulpit.
The Holy Spirit indwells you in large part to help you in the weakness of your flesh. The Holy Spirit sustains that new life principle so that it increasingly has the upper hand in your character, in the upper hand in your life. It becomes the defining, dominating aspect of your character. And so whereas before the corruption seems so great, the Spirit subdues your corruption, increases the work of grace in your heart so that there is an evident growth and pattern of improvement going on spiritually that you could never attain on your own. This is what's true for you as a Christian and about the nature of salvation. It pleased God when He saved you not to make you perfect immediately, but rather to manifest a work of grace in your life over time. That pleased God to order salvation that way, that you would grow in grace over time rather than have a simple, immediate, perfect deliverance that allowed you to walk on air and to walk on water and to never sin again in your Christian life. The power of sin has been broken. But that doesn't mean it has been eradicated. It teaches you the power of sin. It teaches you the power of grace. But it also does this, beloved. As you go through that wrestling process, it teaches you to trust. It teaches you dependence. It purges you of pride. And it teaches you to look with trust to the God who's going to sanctify you over time. And it pleases God to see that trust at work in the lives of His children. That's our need for sanctification. Let's look at what the Spirit actually does in point number two, the power for sanctification. The power for sanctification. I'm just going to give you three kind of introductory elements. What's the power for sanctification? Subpoint A, if you want to take notes that way, is the prayer of the Spirit. The prayer of the Spirit. Into your weakness, beloved, the Holy Spirit provides help and comfort. He intercedes for you. He helps you. That's one of His names from the Gospel of John, the Helper. And what a blessed thing it is for us to contemplate the fact that the third person of the Godhead has come to indwell us, and He comes as one who is here to help us, to strengthen us. And we find that part of His work is the prayer of the Spirit, Romans chapter 8, verse 26. Romans 8, verse 26. He says, in the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness. Paul has been talking about his weakness in Romans 7. He had alluded to it in chapter 8, verse 23. And now he is supplying that. He's telling us about that, which assures us of the ultimate victory. He says, the Spirit helps our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we should. But the Spirit Himself, the Spirit intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And He who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because He intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. What Paul is saying is that the Holy Spirit prays for us. The Holy Spirit intercedes before the throne of God in the midst of your struggle, in the midst of your weakness, and somehow in ways that go beyond what we can adequately put into human language, the Spirit of God is praying to God the Father and saying, God, strengthen this one. Help this one in his weakness. Can you pray for me? Can you pray for me? Happy to pray for you. But you know what? What's really good to know is that the Holy Spirit himself is praying for us, interceding before us. S. Lewis Johnson says this about this prayer of the Spirit. He says the reference is not to ordinary prayer primarily, but to our longing to be released from the corruption of this life for the glorious liberty we will enjoy in the future as the children of God. He goes on to say, listen to this. Listen to what God has given to you in the indwelling Holy Spirit. He says, and I quote, "We have someone within, a divine person who prays for us in a divine way, and the inevitable result is that the Father answers the prayers. Such is the comfort, assurance, and security of the saints. God praying to God, and we are the objects of those prayers." End quote. This is magnificent. This is staggering in its grandeur. That God not only saved you when you didn't deserve it, He was so set, He was so purposed on making you into someone like Christ that He sent the Spirit to indwell you, to help you. And part of the ministry that the Spirit carries out in an ongoing way in the life of every believer is this ministry of intercession where he asks God, the Father, to work, to strengthen, and that the whole Godhead, the whole resources of the infinite Godhead would come to bear and be at work in you in order to change you from one lesser image of the glory of Christ into a greater image of the glory of Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. From glory to glory. God indwells you in the person of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit, part of what He does is He has this perfect ministry of intercession for you, that you would be conformed in the way that God intends you to be conformed during the course of your life to the image of Christ. Now, I ask you, does God answer the prayers of God? Does God, the Spirit, know how to pray for you? Does He know all of the circumstances and the timing of all of this and that? Does God, the Spirit, know your weakness? Does God know how God can strengthen you and at the right times to provide you with the help that you need? To ask the questions to answer it, isn't it? So again, we're staggered. We're humbled. We're brought low by the greatness of what God has done for us. God not only has saved you, Christ, it's not just that Christ has died for your sins at the cross. That's infinitely magnificent. But the work of God in your salvation is greater still. So that the Spirit of God comes to indwell you and He prays for you and intercedes for you before the throne of God so that your work of sanctification would not fail. That it will be achieved and accomplished certainly in the end. That's what the Spirit does. He prays for us. Where else do we find the Spirit's work in the power of sanctification? Well, secondly, you also find it in the Word of the Spirit. The Word of the Spirit. Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. The Spirit helps us by opening our mind to God's Word. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9. Says, "Things which eye has not seen and ear has not heard and which have not entered the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love Him." God's prepared things for you that He intends you to inherit, for you to know, for you to possess. Verse 10, "For to us God revealed them through the Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, the thoughts of God no one knows except the Spirit of God." It takes an infinite being to understand the thoughts of another infinite person. And the Godhead has a perfect harmony in its divine mind. And the Spirit knows the thoughts of God the Father and God the Son perfectly, coextensively, deeply and intimately, without any lack of understanding. And it's that Spirit that is at work in you to help you with the Word of God, the Scriptures. Verse 12, "Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may know the things freely given to us by God. which things we also speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. Beloved, mark it, when you read the Word of God in your private study, when you hear the Word of God taught to you, there is a miraculous, powerful, supernatural dynamic that is at work. The Spirit of God is helping your mind, enlarging its power, and putting thoughts and understanding in your mind to understand and grasp that which you could not do naturally in your own ability. That is why you can meet a humble Christian, maybe in another part of the world, without much education. And you find that that person who has been a Christian, walking with God, reading the Word, is someone who can engage a deep discussion about the things of God with you that far transcends human education. Why is that? It's because the Spirit of God has done a work in his heart to help him understand the Word of God. Over in chapter 2 of 1 John, if you would turn there, 1 John 2, verse 14, he says, "I've written to you, fathers, because you know him who has been from the beginning. I've written to you, young men, because you are strong and the Word of God abides in you and you have overcome the evil one." There's this ministry of the Word of God in our hearts that helps us to overcome the evil one, that is a part of your spiritual growth. And in verse 27, he alludes to the Spirit with the word anointing. 1 John 2, verse 27, he says, "As for you, the anointing which you received from him abides in you." The Spirit is dwelling within you. He abides in you. And you have no need for anyone to teach you. But as his anointing teaches you about all things and is true and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you abide in him. The Spirit of God abides in you in a way that makes the Word of God, the Scriptures, the revealed Word of God, it makes it alive to you and makes it a transforming agent in your life. That's part of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. It's not simply a matter of intellectual, mental comprehension that we do here when we gather together to study God's Word. There is a dynamic of the Spirit doing a work inside you and enabling your understanding to grasp things and to shape your affections and desires in response to it. The Spirit stimulates that in you. He guides you into the truth. He gives you the desire and the capacity to understand the Word of God. Summarizing what the theologian A.A. Hodge said back in the 19th century, the Spirit of God opens your mind to the excellence of divine truth. He renews your affections so that you see how excellent it is, and then you desire to pursue it. What does the Spirit of God do? Not only does he pray for you, he does a work in you in which he takes the Word of God and makes it alive, relevant, penetrating, transforming, lovely, excellent to you in a way that gives you a grasp of spiritual truth, going from elementaries to intermediate to more advanced things along the way. This is what the Spirit of God does for you. He leads you through the Word of God into spiritual growth. Let me ask you a question. Prove this to you, those of you that are true Christian. This should encourage you to think this way. You see this in your own experience. Isn't it true that you have more insight into the Word of God now than you did when you were first converted? If you've been growing as a Christian at all, isn't it true that you could look back 5 years ago and say, "Wow, I see things differently now. I understand and grasp spiritual truth in a way that wasn't true 5 years ago." Isn't that true of you? Isn't there anchored in your understanding things of principles and conviction that you were waffling on before? That's the ministry of the Spirit of God. That's what he does. He brings you to a point where there are convictions that are settled, and so that you are not so tossed here and there by the waves of changing doctrine around you. That's a work of the Spirit of God. This is why. It is because the Spirit uses the Word of God in your life to change you and to conform you to the image of Christ. This is one of the primary ministries that he has in the life of every true believer. You make the Word of God a priority because that is where the Spirit does so much of his work. It's not a matter of gathering socially. It's not a matter of, oh, I have to be here because the church doors are open. No, no, it's so much more than that. It's saying we gather together to hear God's word taught. And you know what happens then? The omnipotent Spirit does a great work in the hearts of those who believe. And I want to be a part of it. I encourage you to count where the priority of God's word is in your heart, understanding that this isn't a plea for better attendance. This is the avenue of the blessing of God and the work of the Spirit of God in your heart. Would we want as many people as possible under the sound of God's word? Yeah. But you know what? It isn't about numbers. It's not about the numbers. So when we say come and be under God's word, it's not because we want attendance so that the number next week is bigger than the number this week. That has nothing to do with it. The point is that we would desire the blessing of God on your life that comes through His Word, and the sanctification that the Spirit does is something that He does through the Word of God. And we would want you to have that benefit. The blessing that comes from a close walk with God informed by His Word. That's the ministry of the Spirit in your heart. Well, let's wrap this up and just see thirdly, and I'll just state it more broadly. The ministry of the Spirit. What is the power for sanctification? It's the prayer of the Spirit. It is the word of the Spirit. It is the ministry of the Spirit. The indwelling Holy Spirit, beloved, continually works to help you. Philippians chapter 2, verse 12. And I cannot tell you how thankful to God I am that each one of you are here. Philippians chapter 2, verse 12. Paul tells his reader, so then, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Verse 13, for it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for His good pleasure. Beloved, here's what that verse is telling you. You have a responsibility to apply yourself to the things of Christian life. That's true. But the reason that you apply yourself to them is based on a knowledge of the work of the Spirit. You apply yourself because, for this reason, because God is at work in you. The Spirit of God is doing a work in your life. And so go put yourself in the realms where the Spirit works so that that work would be more advanced. It would be more pure. It would be more full. Here's the thing. Here's the thing, my friends, my brothers and sisters in Christ. The Spirit of God works in your heart in a way that you cannot see. You can't hear it. You can't touch it. You can't feel it. He's working in an unseen way. But based on what God has said in His Word, we know this. The Spirit shapes your heart so that you will most certainly grow as a Christian. That's what He does. That's what He's in the business of doing, if I can put it that way. He is in the business. It is His ministry to make people more like Christ. And God, the Spirit, desiring the glory of Christ, having assigned to Him the ministry of glorifying Christ, takes the people of Christ and shapes them and molds them so that they'll be more like Him. The greatest glory that Christ can ever have. Well, I don't want to say it that way. One of the great ways to glorify, for Christ to be glorified by the Spirit, is for the Spirit to produce in His people, people that look like Him. Christ is the measure of His own glory. And the more we reflect Him, the more that we glorify Him. Again, S. Lewis Johnson says this, and I quote, let me preface it with this. There are times, I understand, because I know it by experience, I know it to be true for you too. Your desires for spiritual growth kind of come and go like the waves of the ocean. Sometimes you're hot, sometimes it doesn't seem quite so strong and mighty in your heart. The Spirit is at work even in that to help. And here's what S. Lewis Johnson says. He says, the disposition to be obedient in measure to the Word of God is something the Holy Spirit gives us. So, internally and irresistibly, we are wrought upon by the Holy Spirit, and we are led, guided, and enabled to do the work of God. The Spirit of God does a work to lead us, to guide us, to enable us to do that which God has called us to do. We don't live this Christian life in our own strength and in our own power. Dr. Johnson goes on to say, we are responsible to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. That is a command addressed to us. We cannot say before the Lord God, well, I didn't work out mine because I was waiting on the Holy Spirit to work in me. No, you cannot say that. You are responsible to work it out. That's your responsibility. Incidentally, I'm not quoting here, that refutes the old notion of let go and let God as being the path of sanctification. You can't just let go and be passive in it. Scripture commands you to work it out. But Dr. Johnson adds this helpful insight. And here again, let me preface it like he needs me to help interpret him. Wrapping all of us up together. We started by saying we've been made new. But there's this principle of sin that fights against us, and we feel the struggle and it discourages us. And we know, you know, by too sad personal experience that the moment that you think you're doing well somehow is when you seem to stumble. And you know that. And that leads to what Dr. Johnson says here. He says, but if you say, but I am of myself unable to do this, I can't work out my salvation. I'm responsible, but I lack the power to do it. He says, that is a Christian idea. So what do you do in light of all of this? You are commanded to grow, and yet you feel the weight of the struggle. What do? He says, and I quote, you get down on your knees and say, oh God, I cannot sanctify myself. Through the Holy Spirit, work in me that I may work out my salvation. End quote. That's the settled mindset of the godly mind. This is what you say to yourself. This is what you look in the mirror and see. You say, I will struggle at times with remaining sin. I cannot overcome it by myself. And yet in my weak state, I am still responsible to pursue my spiritual growth. This seems to be a contradiction, but I'm not downcast. The Spirit is now within me. The Spirit will help me, and I trust the Holy Spirit to finish the work that He began. And beloved, that's exactly what God's Word says He will do. Philippians 1:6, I am confident of this very thing, that He who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. Brothers, there may be times when that seems to be a distant goal, a distant reality. It may seem to be receding further into the background the longer your struggle goes on. But take heart. This work of the Spirit is real. And it will be finished because God has promised it in His Word. And then, when the work on earth is done, when the Spirit has finished and said, that's enough, He'll call us home to heaven. And we will enter into heaven and we will find that the perfection for which we have longed on this earth has now been granted to us. And our culmination of our salvation is ours. Never to feel the struggle again. Never to be panged by conscience again. Never to stumble again. Perfected in the presence of Christ. God converted us. God sanctifies us. One day God will glorify us. And in that great eternal moment, when that occurs, you're going to look at it all and say, this was worth it. And praise be to God. Praise be to the Son. Praise be to the Spirit who saved me and made sure I reached the final destination.
That's Don Green, founding pastor of Truth Community Church in Cincinnati, Ohio, with the conclusion of our series, The Godly Mind. Don will embark on another powerful series next time on the Truth Pulpit, so be sure to join us then. Well, Don, it strikes me after today's lesson that we must rely on God in all three persons for literally everything.
Well, Bill, I think that's exactly right. You know, Scripture repeatedly speaks about salvation in Trinitarian terms, the work of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. God the Father chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world. Christ came and in love shed his blood to pay for our redemption. And the Holy Spirit came and in our individual lives applied that to our hearts and drew us to faith in Christ. It is a wondrous thing to be a Christian, to be the object of the love of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We hope through this series you better understand A Mind for God.
Thanks, Don. And friend, be sure to visit us at thetruthpulpit.com to learn more about this ministry. While you're there, you can also find podcasts of messages you'd like to hear again or share with friends and family. Again, it's all at thetruthpulpit.com. I'm Bill Wright. Join us again next time for more from The Truth Pulpit.